do a lot of ritual acts of worship, whatever goodness you may hear about with regard to somebody else, then don't automatically think that makes them a good person. Don't automatically think that makes them a religious person. Don't think that automatically makes them a pious person, and don't think it automatically makes them somebody who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because as we had in the previous hadith, the closest ones and the most beloved ones to Allah are not those who do the most superficial actions, but it is those who have the greatest aql and the greatest power of discernment, which will show itself by making the best decisions in life. Whenever they have two paths, they choose the correct path. And they choose that path for the correct reasons. So the Prophet says that if you hear about somebody having a good state, a good superficial state, فَانْظُرُوا فِي حُسْنِ عَقْلِهِ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَازَ بِعَقْلِهِ. So go and examine that person's intellect. Examine that person's aql. Because they are only going to be held to account, they are only going to be rewarded or punished on the basis of their intellect, not on the basis of their superficial actions. And this is actually something which the Prophet was warning the Ummah about, because in the early days of Islam, one of the greatest harms that the Muslim Ummah faced was by people who would use the excuse of piety or the excuse of sincerity for Islam to undermine Islam. In the Prophet's time, it was the Munafiqeen in Medina who tried to kill the Prophet, who tried to undermine the Muslims in every battle and in times of peace within the city. After the Prophet's time, it was those who were the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, the Khawarij, who, in the words of Imam Ali, if a person were to look at their prayers and to look at their fasting and their recitation of Quran, then a person would be surprised that how could these not be pious Muslims. But as the Imam said, none of that has any worth, because they do not have the intellect to understand what it is that they are supposed to accomplish from those acts of worship. So this was a warning from the Prophet. And it is relevant not just to the early history of Islam, but to all times. We should not be fooled by superficiality. These acts of worship, they are important. They are part of our identity, but they should not be the basis or the sole basis by which we judge the worth of or the significance of our fellow believers. But we have to look and base our relationships upon the intellect and the intelligence of those whom we wish to associate with and those whom we wish to learn from or be inspired by or take as role models. So these are some of the lessons that we have from the importance of aql for our own practice, for our relationship of humility with our fellow believers, and also to make sure that we are not fooled by superficial goodness if it doesn't actually indicate that the person has deeply understood their faith and their religion. And that is why we have many ahadith that a small amount of ibadat with deep understanding and with ma'rifat and with contemplation is better than a great deal of ibadat without that contemplation and without that understanding and that recognition. Because it has profundity, it has real significance, and it will have a greater effect on a person's actions and on their decision making if they know what they are doing. We can repeat a dhikr, or we can repeat a sentence 1,000 times if we don't know what it means. We'll memorize it, but it's not going to affect our lives or our decision making. But if we repeat something 10 times and we know what it means, it will have a greater effect on our lives and a greater effect on our decision making. So these are some of the ahadith in which the Prophet and the Imams, they informed us of the significance of aql in our relationship with our Creator. Now when we want to approach our Creator, when we want to do good deeds, when we want to perform those acts of ibadat and worship, one of the key elements of every action, every good deed, is the niyyah, or the intention that is behind that good deed. But this concept of intention, it is misunderstood by many people. They think that, well, it is only the intention that is important. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So I might have done wrong, but I intended well. And therefore, it's not quite so bad. Many people, they use this hadith, and it is actually a hadith of the Prophet, but they use it to mean that even if you don't do right, as long as you meant well, then it should be okay, it should not be matter. It should not be held against you. But we have many ahadith from the Imams which indicate that the niyyah is the beginning of good actions that can only have meaning if they are followed by an actual proper course of action. The niyyah is not independently able to provide salvation or to bring a person to the path of righteousness. In one hadith that we have from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, in which he quotes the Prophet, in which the first Imam, he quotes the Prophet as having said, "La qawla illa bi'amal." There is no word that you may say without a corresponding deed. If you say something, if you preach something, but you don't do it, then it doesn't count. It's as if you didn't even say it. There is no saying that has significance without corresponding amal. وَلَا قَوْلَ وَلَا عَمَلْ إِلَّا بِنِيَّةٍ. And there is no word or action without the corresponding intention. Sometimes we may say something, we may do something, but the intention is either not there or it is not pure, and therefore the speech and the action, they do not have any significance. وَلَا قَوْلَ وَلَا عَمَلَ وَلَا نِيَّةَ إِلَّا بِإِصَابَةِ السُّنَّةِ. And there is no significance to your word and to your deed and to your intention إِلَّا بِإِصَابَةِ السُّنَّةِ, except if you then practice according to the sunnah. So it's not simply a matter of having a good intention and saying good things and attempting to do something good, but there is also the importance of actually understanding and following the sunnah of the Prophet. Otherwise, every person may think something to be good, but only some of them will be right, and many of us, at different times in our lives, we may do things with good intentions, but they may not actually be the right course of action. That might not be a good practice to establish for ourselves, for our families, or for our communities. So there is only the true value of those actions and those intentions if it comes by actually following the sunnah of the Prophet. So this is, of course, if we are able to understand the sunnah. If we do everything in our power and we are unable to understand what it is that the sunnah of the Prophet is, if there is an honest mistake after an attempt to find out what the proper course of action is, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold a person responsible. That is something which He has promised, that if it is not our fault that we may fall into error, then we are not responsible. But if there is negligence, if we are not taking that care, making the effort to find out what the sunnah is, we say that, well, we have a good intention. Well, we're saying good things and we're trying to do good things. Then that will not necessarily lead us to the path of righteousness and to the path of salvation. So this is one hadith in which we have the message that in addition to making your niyat pure, make sure that you are searching and finding out what is the character and the sunnah of the Prophet, and that you are following that sunnah in your own lives. In another hadith, the Prophet is said to have given an advice to Abu Dharr. This is a wasiyah, and there are different parts of this wasiyah which the Prophet made to Abu Dharr. One part of that wasiyah is where the Prophet said, "Ya Abu Dharr, liyakun laka fi kulli shay'in niyyah, hatta fi an-nawmi wal-akl." O Abu Dharr, try to make sure that everything you do, you have an intention in it. Don't do anything in your day without first making a niyyah and seeing how it can be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you sleep, then make the intention that you are sleeping so that you will have the strength to serve Allah better tomorrow. That you will have the strength to be a better person tomorrow. If you eat, make the intention that you are eating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you will have the strength to obey, to worship, to Be kind to your family, to your fellow human beings.